Blog Talk Radio.
Searching only for the higher ground, I miss the ferns and wild hollyhock. 6,000 feet of mountain, I hurry to the very top. I cry out to the valley below, but I only hear my echo asking how do you
Good morning. This is Gregory talking to you on this wonderful Sunday morning. We're really excited today. What we have today is what I call conversations from beyond the edge. So many of us are tied up into different issues and problems and trying to find out what the future holds and what's going on with our mate and so forth. Well, what we want to do at some point is look beyond the edge of our lives, beyond the edge of reality, to understand what is really the big picture and what's the big picture beyond that. So once again, this is Gregory, the Universal Healer, even known today, I want to tell you. I'm also the Universal Ministries Bishop for Delaware, so now we're having fun. But today is really exciting because we have Claire Braddock on the call, who I regard as a one-woman spiritual healing conglomerate. So we're going to find out, get a sense of all the stuff that she's into, and then more importantly, we're going to find out how she came to be that way, or what she learned along the way. So what we want to do is probe behind the actual image that Claire projects and understand who she is, and I'll share along the way, so we just won't be picking on Claire. So let's go back to our theme, which is Becky Williams, my friend, singing How Do You Find God? Because that's what it's all about. Now, in previous months, this show was sponsored, as you know, by the Light Givers International Association. Well, the sponsorship has been expanded. It now includes a sponsor, the Glory Universal Ministries, which reflects a combination of the efforts between this program and also the programs of Evangelist Patricia Benjamin. We are in the process of establishing that as a functioning entity. And if you want to talk to me directly, which you can do, you can leave a message at 855-765-4325. Now, the last four numbers also are H-E-A-L. So we're going to let Becky finish in a moment, and then we will start talking to our beloved and delightful. So once again, this is Gregory. I guess the full title is Dr. Gregory Scott, talking to Claire Braddock. And I just want to welcome Claire warmly onto this call. I had the pleasure of hearing her on another person's show. And my immediate thought was, oh, I will be so excited if perhaps she can come on to my show so I can just talk to her and have a chat and a conversation, which is what we do. So good morning, Claire. Welcome to Conversations Beyond the Edge.
Thank you so much for that introduction. Welcome. And I am so glad to be here this morning. It's a beautiful day, and what better day to do what we do, right? Live.
Absolutely. Well, Claire, here's what, to get started, now we're going to go back and go beyond the edge in a moment, but would you just take a minute to sketch out as humbly and as broadly as you possibly can, the full range of things that you find people are looking to you for today, currently. So I'm not going to read to them your website because I think it's a lot better for them to hear from you.
Yeah, I've really tried to condense it on my website even. But so my name is Claire Braddock, and I am an intuitive coach, healer, psychic, clairvoyant. Use any of those quote unquote paranormal words, and I could fit into that category. My gifts from spirit are, well, they're obviously from spirit, but it runs in my family, is the way I'll put it. Seven generations down from my mother's side. However, the gift does run on my father's side as well. And what people recently have been coming to me for assistance with would be the emotional clearing and healing through blocks, traumas, whatever that they thought had gone either under the rug and taken care of, or stuff that they didn't even know was still lingering in their lives. And it's just incredible. The healing that's taking place and the preparations for where we're headed as a whole with this planet.
Oh, great. I saw, I think, something that indicates you have a business that involves a group of other psychics. Am I misremembering that?
No. Hold on. Okay, you got to... my apologies here. My cat just yanked my headset out of the phone and off my ear. That's the other thing. We all know that animals and cats are very spiritual beings, and every time I do a show, they are, like, all over me with the energy.
That's just love. That's what it is.
Oh, yeah. Okay, so I also own and manage TopAmericanHealers.com, and so we're an on-call website where you can book private appointments through our individual websites or go directly through TopAmericanHealers.com website. And we do have a group of about just under 20 healers right now. And it's just amazing. These people are just outstanding. The different modalities that they use and their different gifts. We've got one gentleman who works with the angelic realm, and it's just incredible. The different, like I said, it's like modalities, but just the different gifts and how different people at a soul signature level will connect with other people for the precise healing that they need in those different moments.
That's terrific. So how did you come to the point that you were able to assemble such a magnificent group of people? I mean, how did that happen? Did you
meet
them?
That's a good question.
Did you meet them at how did you put them all together? Did you take applications? Did you advertise? Was there a billboard that I missed?
Billboard and memo. actually, I am associated with Om Times Magazine.
Uh-huh.
And they're an online magazine, and through them, just the different connections. I mean, the simple answer is, well, spirit, you know, brought us together.
Uh-huh.
That's just how spirit works. You don't, you know, there is no literal pizza reality, 3D, time, space, dimension, all that just kind of all connects. And so through Om Times Magazine, the networking and bringing together different psychics and readers and healers, and there was just obviously connections that were made where there's that obvious, there's something different between us, and this exchange between us is different. And most of the healers and readers that came on board were all looking for that space. From spirit, it was, well, I will provide this space for us. And so I didn't put any of the people really through an application process because I had already, you know, been told by spirit, these are the people that you need on this, in this space. And then from here on out, obviously I'm doing applications to get to know other people because it's not a closed group specifically or anything like that. So,
well, that's outstanding. So, and what, if someone wanted, who's listening to the show, I don't get a lot of live listeners, but I do get, you know, a good number of people go in the archives.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Listening to the show, and they wanted to get in touch with you. Could you just say out loud what would be your preferred, just period, either for your service, you know, or for becoming a part of your group? What website or email address would you direct them to?
I'm going to say trustclaire.com. Spelled
okay.
T-R-U-S-T, trust, and Claire, C-L-A-I-R-E. Because there's all the links that go to, I mean, I got links everywhere, but that's the, I know, I'm, you know, Google my name, you'll find me, but my personal website, trustclaire.com, is the easiest to get all information in one place, if you take the time to at least browse a little bit. It'll link you over to other places of interest with all of the additional information, contact information. If you want a private session with me, there's information how to get that done if you want it private or through Top American Healers. And then it also will link you over to Top American Healers to fill out applications or find another intuitive healer, whatever.
That's right. Well,
it's
super.
Pretty simple. And really shy on the giving out my information, not because I'm cautious. It's just, wow. I get overwhelmed sometimes. I'm like, I don't know how much to give and how little to keep.
Yeah, I can understand that. But I was on a show and a fellow asked me once toward the end of it, how do you get a hold of you? And I thought, well, you know, people deserve to know that. Now let's go back and talk about little Claire. You said that you come from six generations of...
Seven
come 11.
Seven generations, I'm the seventh.
So how did, in terms of growing up, I mean, how did your family acclimate you to this gift? I mean, did you sort of sit around and then cause pieces of china to levitate, walk through
walls?
Yeah,
and that was, you know, that blew my parents away. They knew we had a special child here. Yeah, when I levitated china. Actually, when I was right between four, turning five,
mm-hmm.
Right about that age, I typically just say about five because I was entering kindergarten. And my family had moved into a home that was built in 1885. And throughout the house's history had been numerous deaths. I mean, naturally, over 100 years, you know, that would happen.
Sure.
And so it just made it a lot easier for my parents to say, okay, we're obviously living in an active house. These things don't normally happen in homes. And our children are obviously sensitive and picking up on it. We're not a crazy family. There's something more here, and what better way to encourage the gifts that we know our children have?
I see.
So I wasn't
so
raised
that
with
involved
fear
you're
nothing.
Having dialogues with some of the individuals on the other side? Or I mean, I'm really getting down. But
there was the most recent death that had occurred in the house was a young high school football player. And he had gotten injured on the field, had gotten a slight concussion, and was sent home to, you know, rest it off, whatever, and didn't wake up that night, from that night. And my mom had already done the research on the house to know its history and who had lived there and who had potentially died in the house or whatever. And so that young man's bedroom happened to be the bedroom that was assigned, whatever, if you assign rooms to children, was my bedroom. And so I just have amazing parents to where it wasn't them trying to figure out what's going on with their kids. It was, we're going into a situation with this potential. And so when those on the other side would come through, it wasn't a shock to my parents. They would be like, well, we already went through who this could be, and you already knew that there was a young man that used to live in the house prior to us, and this is the story, so that's probably who it is. And this is the most abnormal, normal childhood a kid could have with these gifts. Uh-huh.
So was part of your activity involved in helping him to come to understand what his situation had become, kind of in the ghost whisperer model?
With
that show where you help him realize what his experience is?
I think he was just more excited to have kids in the house. And he did, he was more interactive around the time that I would be the same age as he had crossed over, in about junior high school age. And so when my brother and I got to that age, that's when he became more revealing to being in the house. And I think it was mostly just looking back that somebody that he could connect with and just acknowledge his presence.
Well, it's interesting. The operating philosophy of the television show Ghost Whisperer seems to be, now that I think about it, that the greatest ambition, and I'm kind of segueing, I guess, to the next phase of our conversation, the greatest ambition the individual might have is to move, you know, into the light and continue their journey as a spiritual being. And I guess what I'm asking is, did any of that come up, you know, when you finally left the house? Was the understanding that this fellow was still there, or had he finally transitioned onto a higher level of being?
My answer is going to be that he probably most likely has continued his soul's journey, because when my parents still live in the house, and that house will one day be mine. I hope. That's better. When we go back to visit, that energy's not there.
I see. Well,
and it's not a matter of we did a house clearing and we, you know, ushered him into the light. It was just that natural process. I really fully believe that a lot of times they're not looking, when I say they, those on the other side, they're not always necessarily looking for someone to explain what happened to them and ushering them in, and, you know, you're not supposed to be here, you have to continue your journey. Part of their journey at times is just getting the acknowledgement that they did cross over and that there is more once you die, so that they can move on. For all I know, and recalling the experiences I had with him, for all I know, his part of his soul's purpose was to assist me as a little girl on the other side of the other side.
Yes, got it.
To help me and my family open up further our gifts.
Uh-huh.
So that's sometimes the way I view it, because he wasn't I never, even looking back, I couldn't say, well, I know I helped him with this, or my purpose was that with him. It was very equitable, I would say. And his energy just isn't as present as it used to be. So I've always had this sense of, I guess the way to try and explain it, I try and think about how to explain stuff for people that are new listening, or this whole more is new to them.
Sure.
No different than when anyone dies and you can feel their presence. But then after a while, you no longer feel their presence, because you have that sense that they further have moved on and are closer into the presence of our all creator.
Well, and that connection, moving even more so into the dimensions which this show is interested in probing. What, as growing up as a child, I think that's redundant at any rate.
I know.
As a child, in the kind of loving, it sounds like, family that you grew up with, given that they were sent to your gifts, how did you come to understand that you were more than just a child in a house, but that there's some sort of spiritual essence that needed to be grasped and understood? I mean, how did that slowly or rapidly evolve for you? I mean, little Claire, how did she come to understand that life was more in addition to the experiences with the other side? How did you come to understand sort of the larger pictures of life?
Such a deep question.
Did you go to church? Did your parents sit down and hold sessions with you? Some people will...
We dance naked under the full moonlight.
Not, that sort of thing.
Actually, my parents did raise me in a Presbyterian church.
Mm-hmm.
So they exposed us, I guess you could say, to... Because they really wanted to instill... morals, values, all of that stuff, and at the time that was the best way, I guess. I don't know. I never really talked to him about it. It was just what we did, and so I do have that biblical background. I'm not, and I also believe a lot of their reasoning too was they didn't want ignorant children, just ignorant. You know that there's many paths that all lead to the same ultimate source. And so we were raised in Presbyterian church. My parents are still fairly close friends with a select few from that church, but they don't even go to that church anymore. It's just, my parents know that there's more. And, as a matter of fact, just 4th of July, my parents just came back from Scotland, because my heritage on my mom's side is Scottish. And that's where our line with our clairvoyance and spiritual gifts originate from. And so, even as of just recent, they have gone back to where our line began. It wasn't down the street to the church.
And
I'm still trying to figure out how to answer your question, though, because my first tarot deck was given to me by my mother, and she doesn't read tarot herself, but she that was definitely something that she made a priority to get in my life to help open up my abilities and gifts. And I just naturally, I guess, I know all kids are interested in the occult, mysticism, and there was just an energy put out from me that I knew. There was just that knowingness of knowledge or information, and things weren't scary. Children are fascinated with the Hollywood mysticism and occult and Ouija boards and that. And so with that natural curiosity from kids, but then how I was raised and just my being, it was like I was the light for moths. And they would just come to me because they knew it wasn't going to be scary. And it was more than more of a remembrance than what the other kids were being taught through the television.
Sure. What about, did you have a lot of people in their background will describe having had meetings in addition to the kind of interaction you had with the high school fellow, have had meetings and interactions with archangels and ascended masters, and sometimes people talk about them showing up in their room. One woman told a story about how she was lying in bed and all of these masters showed up and they were just parading around her bed, basically saying, get up, time for you to get on the ball. I don't know if you had any of those kinds of things going on while you were a young, aware child in terms of your childhood. Or perhaps your parents fulfilled that role for you mainly.
Mm-hmm. Very much so, because I cannot recall a single, the word that just came to mind is episode, where, Archangel so-and-show shows up, or the Ascended Masters, or, my grandmother. None of that. What I recall is, I recall those on the other side, just those that had crossed over that lived in the house, or I don't know, it was just my absolute norm, where I realized that there's something different here, and there's obviously more to life than get up, have breakfast, go to school, live your life strictly, because there's nothing after this. The package being go to school, graduate, get a job,
get married, work, have kids, die.
Yeah, there's so much more. And so I've always been this type of person that it potentially could be seen backwards of my priority has always been other people and relationships, and what can you learn, and what can you teach, and what's the deeper purpose in this interaction with this other person? That's always been so much more important to me, no matter whether they're alive or dead. That's been priority over learning math. I hate math. Math, high school classes, going into college, getting a job, 9-to-5 job, making money and, earning a living to get whatever it is to keep up with the Joneses. I've always sought out people. Just people.
I can relate to that. It's interesting you talk about there being more to life. I remember my father was a Baptist minister. And, you go back through several generations for your gifts. I go back through several generations for my talking, preaching, speaking. And underneath that, I suspect there's a strong, not suspect, I know there's a strong feeling about understanding the source of all, however it showed up, whether it was Methodism or Baptist or whatever.
Right.
And I remember standing out in my backyard as a small child, probably around, I don't know, 7, let's see, I would have been about 10, looking up at the stars and just saying to myself, I can't believe that this is all there is. There has to be more. So it's as if in some works, I was very involved with Eckankar for many years, which is essentially, although they would deny it, but essentially it's a guru-led path, and people find themselves, the word sometimes I use is captured or trapped, by the charisma of the teacher, notwithstanding all denials that he and others want to make, that he's not quote-unquote cult leader, but the problem is, and I'm not really picking on them, or maybe I am, the problem is the whole issue of spiritual freedom is being able to self-determine. And if you spend your entire time, you know, glorifying, you know, the strong personality of whomever it is that's out in front, then it really becomes a challenge. But at least in that work, and the point I wanted to get to, there is quite said, talked about the call of soul, the idea being that there's some part of us which has a natural, almost magnetic tendency toward developing a free connection with the source of all, by whatever name it happens to be
right.
called. And so essentially what I think we're talking about is how that call of soul, you know, showed up, you know, in our respective lives. But because you are the guest, I'm going to talk to you a little bit more about my life and my brain. That's right. Picking on you, kid. Taking you apart. Unbundling you. Putting you back together. And seeing that you're not there. You're somewhere else. At any rate. So the question is, as, you know, you were this small child growing, knowing there was more to life than what there was, and even as an adult now, as you're saying, you're pointing out that your natural tendency has to gone deeper in the relationship to really understand what the person is about. How does that idea or experience of God itself emerge, or how did it begin to show up in your life? Was it a magnificent revelation? Was it just gradual realization? I mean, how did you come to appreciate, you know, the source of all life?
Okay,
itself?
And I hope people can keep up with what I'm saying, or that I'm explaining it correctly, or
but
I
just
don't know,
get it out there. Get it said, girl.
I know. I'm just going to put it out there. So it was about my sophomore year in high school.
Uh-huh.
And I believe there are other beings from other dimensions, planets, realities, whatever. Some of them are here to assist us in our ascension process and our healing, and others are, I'll just politely say, lower vibration, and they don't have our best interest as a planet in mind.
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't know how I knew this, because UFOs and aliens were not like a dinner topic in my house. But...
Mm-hmm.
There was something going on around my sophomore year in high school where I was, and I don't want to say I was under attack or anything, but just these bizarre, weird experiences where I could feel it, something coming over me physically.
Uh-huh.
And then it kind of like a step in or a walk-in experience where another solar entity comes in. But I
uh-huh.
still wasn't. It wasn't so positive, because I would be coherent brain wise, but I was not in control of my body fully, and I would have to really focus on moving my body and okay, you need to move forward and get to the sink. Okay, now walking myself mentally through what I needed to do, because it wasn't fully me in the body.
Yes.
And so it got to be out of control, just too much all the time. I wouldn't necessarily always get a warning of when this experience would happen.
Mm-hmm.
And I had enough. And that's when knowing, or as I had mentioned earlier, being raised then with the Christian biblical background, I just had enough. And I just said, did what I was taught through the Christian background of going to God, no matter what you want to call God, knowing
mm-hmm.
that there was, however you want to put it, a man named Jesus Christ who had authority and knew his stuff
mm-hmm.
when
yes.
he was under similar type attacks. And
mm-hmm.
I made sure that I connected in those moments to that higher source power, all end all be all creator,
mm-hmm.
and got it to stop.
Wow.
So,
that's good.
And I haven't had those experiences since. Some people, you know, that have certain backgrounds will say they were panic attacks, anxiety attacks. I'm like, no, this it wasn't that. I wasn't having a panic attack. Like what's documented, you know.
Yeah, you had an intruder.
Yeah.
Oh.
And, but then on some level, too, at a soul level, I believe that I agree to that to get me to the point of where I am today. You know, I don't have a clue. I don't remember what was going on my sophomore year particularly. I just knew that it was interfering with my swimming because I was in swimming as my sport for high school and everything, and it was starting to interfere. And I know that at a soul level, I agreed to have those experiences with that other being or entity to get me to a point of just saying, okay, I have to fully 100% connect with this higher power, fully connect with my own soul, and get a move on. There's more to life. Start living it. Because I'm in control of this entire body of mine for this life.
Mm-hmm. You know, talk about agreements that have been made. I haven't talked to you about it at all. I know I gave you a couple of website links, but you're pretty busy. There's a system which we're calling Source of Nation, we being my original organization called the Light Givers. And so it's set up so that individuals who are, you might say, at the pinnacle of their spiritual growth or development, who have not yet ascended, had the ascension experience in this case, that is the relocation of, shall we say, the energetic center into the next dimension, kingdom of heaven, Satori, Nirvana, whatever. So it's set up on the authority and direction of the archangels, and what it does is it gives people instantly the opportunity to experience what in individual sessions when I was doing the Universal Healer, the old Universal Healer, would take maybe 4 or 5 hours to get a person, you know, to that point. In the old system, you know, you'd go through the auric clearing and the cells and the glands and the organs. And not only that, even in the system, we would calibrate it to find out to what extent the thing was functioning efficiently and then whether or not all the energy that it required was being supplied to it, and then after doing that, we clear it, replace it, et cetera, on and on and on. So the archangels basically said to me, listen, you're going to put all that little system that you're doing here, that's going to be embedded in a website, to which my response was, yeah, right. Give me a break.
Yep, of course, we usually respond
what are you
to
talking about?
Yeah.
So anyway, I put up a beta site, like a dummy site, that we could ask friends, we being two or three of the master universal healers that have been brought into the circle, they could call up their friends and say, hey, look, we want you to go to this website and look at this page and tell us what your experience is. And we were really skeptical, you know. And lo and behold, people came back and said, what is on that site? The energy coming out of it, I filled up blah, 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 blah. And so it turned out then that it was basically a captured the entire routine, but it only worked, I came to find out, when people called in to a show that I was on and said, well, you know, I got on the website and nothing happened. Then we said, oh, okay. So then I resurrected the Universal Healer program, which is designed to do some of the same kind of stuff, which goes through the same kind of stuff that you're talking about in terms of blockages and disconnections and, you know, and so forth. So the point I always wanted to mention is you talked about agreements, you know, that you may have made in a previous lifetime. The first thing when we're working with people for whom it has been successful is to give them the opportunity to release any agreements that have been made that have either by them or someone else, sometimes it'll be an agreement made 5 or 6 generations before, by them or someone else that may be interfering with their spiritual progress or their wellness.
Exactly.
And in almost every case, that's the first thing to go.
Absolutely. I can't agree more with you on that because, I mean, I tell people that all the time. And we make sometimes just absolutely ridiculous contracts and agreements that are just absolutely null and void and applicable in our current life. And then there are agreements that were just, they're no longer applicable at all currently because we've grown so much. And we're not releasing it and letting it go and saying it's okay. You got to clear those. You got to get rid of them. You have to rewrite the contract because they will hold us back. You know, forgiveness is a huge key too.
Yeah, that's a biggie.
I know that's a common household word now, and it's all over the place. Forgiveness, forgive, forgive, forgive. But the thing is, there's a lot of forgiveness that we need to be doing from other lives that we may not even consciously be aware of.
That's right.
And that's why it's so important to work with people such as ourselves that have an access, not that other people don't, but have that access more easily to get the answers to where did this contract originate, what do we need to release, so that they can start to understand it, or not at all. Because we don't have to consciously be aware of where did this originate, exactly what is written in this contract that's holding me back, but somebody to assist us, just no different than a doctor assisting you get better in other areas of your life.
In terms of me doing this kind of work, have been a type of, I don't know if you have much experience with those kind of healers. I've been a really kind of healer during all this time. X number of years ago, a guy came to me. He says, "I had a dream last night." I said, "What was that?" He says, "You were in it." I said, "Oh, yeah." He says, "What you were doing," he said, "I didn't know what you were saying, but I was looking through this glass wall, and you were over there teaching people how to send energy out through their hands to heal others." And I said, "Oh, yeah." I thought that was the wackiest thing I'd ever heard of. I mean, I didn't know anything at all about different kind of healing modalities. I mean, it's just deep woo. You know, people got better. Yeah. And lo and behold, 3 years later, I was actually a pranic healing instructor. And the interesting thing about pranic healing is it uses the hands a lot, transmitting energy through the palms. I mean, that's the low-level pranic healing. The higher level, I call it the Chapter 20 pranic healing of Choa Kok Sui's book, I think it's Advanced Healing, is, you know, invocations and, you know, and that sort of thing. So it's interesting, you know, about the evolution of healing work. The agreement thing, I tell you a little story, how that I came to understand that. Had this guy, I went over, I didn't really know or believe all this stuff would work. Took dictated, I got a book dictated to me, through me, 158 pages, different archangels, ascended masters. Title of the book is The Universal Healer, right? I looked at that, I said, I don't know anything about this stuff. Can anybody do all this? And then my next thought was, I'll never be able to do that. But anyway, I had the opportunity to go over to Ghana for 2 months. A lot of black magic, a lot of witchcraft there, and it really gave me a chance to see, boy, this stuff really works. So I had a guy that we were working with, and it turned out, to make a little bit longer story, a little shorter, turned out that several generations before his birth, an agreement had been made by the individuals in his village with an entity, an African entity, to, one, protect the firstborn. They had a problem with the first child. First child in each family was dying, but experienced death. So the entity would keep the child alive, but in turn, the family had to agree to essentially a lifetime's of poverty.
Oh, wow.
So this guy could not understand why he was not, you know, more financially sufficient. And so this entity, so we're sitting there talking to him, all of a sudden, whoa, there's this entity standing there, you know, this dark entity.
Yeah.
Who was tired of enforcing that agreement. It was ready to move on too.
Oh, so you're giving me chills because it's so true.
Yeah, and it explained what had happened, you know, and why this guy was locked into what he did. And so we just asked the fellow, you know, just to let it know that as far as he was concerned, the contract was null and void. And we all got happy.
We all did the happy dance.
Yeah, and my friend.
That
who
is
was
amazing.
Actually, yeah,
that is
those
amazing.
Kind of stories. So that became a part of, became like the, so when you, even though with this process, it is instant. I mean, it's phenomenal. Kazam. But still there's things that people are hanging on to, like you say, forgiveness, attachment, sometimes there's some emotional stuff they're hanging on to. And so it's like they're getting drenched. So now what I'm doing on, I did on a show, when was it? I guess it was on my show last week. I do a Thursday show. I'm starting to do little 5-minute, you know, instant healing things, at least offering those to callers, you know, who come in. So that not only they can experience it, but people can understand, you know, how rapid it is. And of course, people have to understand that if I do a session with them, I'll take a little bit more time so they can take more responsibility, you know, for their
own wellness. That's a huge key word,
too. Yeah, taking
other
more.
Other people have to take personal responsibility. I can't do all of it for you. I can assist you. But we're
let me tell you, in terms of assistance, the guy asked me, he said, this is Tina Marie, who's a psychic on the Greater Good Ministries group, which I'm we're part of here.
Her name's familiar.
Yeah, she apparently is called on by, you know, police departments around the world to, you know, find missing children. I just wanted to help me find my keys. Last night I got in about 2. I couldn't find my keys, and I want to say, do I need to wake up Tina Marie and say, Tina, where's my keys? And she will say, Gregory, retrace your steps. I think I saw you in the bathroom. That's where your keys are. And I said, oh, okay, Tina. And sure enough, that's where they were. But anyway, her husband asked, well, we were on the show, and I was going real slowly. And it was really interesting. It's interesting. So he said to me, you know, somebody looks at your website, and they can't figure out what you do. And I just have been so interested in making things happen that I never asked anybody, you know, any of these archangels who dictate to me, well, how does this stuff really work? And so I sat down and I came to understand, and now I'm starting to say this to people, you know, just up front, that what's been happening is I've gotten this, you know, in this, some of the language, I guess, that they use in, is it Reiki? Yeah. This attunement, which establishes this extraordinarily high vibration around me. It's part of me, but it's around me. So that when you and I begin to work together or talk, then that resonance strikes up in your energy field and then begins to, based on where we put our attention, to stabilize it, you know, in a certain levels of positiveness and healingness. But the other thing that's really exciting, Claire, this is so exciting, my teeth hurt. That when the attunement happens, it, you know, with this thing that they've put on me, it establishes in the other person a permanent condition of wellness. So that they then vibrationally can retard, if they take responsibility, and that's the point that we're saying, it probably happens if you do, then can retard and resist these incursions or intrusions of other kinds of energy. And that's wonderful to think of that support. The theory of it being that with that level of attunement on their part, then they can more properly put their attention on the spiritual side of life, you know, instead of just worrying about, you know, how long am I going to feel like this, blah, 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 blah. So anyway, that's my excitement today and yesterday.
It is very exciting. My struggle personally is finding the right language to explain what it is that I do, because it's so much more than a quote-unquote cookie-cutter psychic reading. Yes, I receive psychic spiritual information, but so many times the information that comes through is way over their head, and they don't need to comprehend it at a conscious level. It's meant to be said out loud for their soul to understand. And,
mm-hmm.
and people then have the blocks of, but I don't understand it, so they continue to block themselves. And I just really struggle with packaging it at a level, and no offense to anyone, but at trying to dumb down
mm-hmm. I understand.
What
like
I know, what I do,
plain.
You know?
Yeah, you're trying to make it plain. Well, the thing is, what I often say to folks is the following, and that is, and I say this about myself, I say, look, I can't understand personally, mentally, and this is me, I mean, I have a doctorate in education, but I can't understand how this stuff happens. I can't get my brain around it. So what I focus mm-hmm. on is my experience with it, because I can always understand how I, you know, how I'm experiencing myself.
I love
so
that.
So the emphasis in this work is people taking responsibility for how they experience themselves. Now, I find, because I don't deal, I tell Tina, you give people the information. The difference between you and me is the following. So I say to Tina, is that you give people information. And I said, and what happens with when they work with me is they get direct experience. So having, while the information is like the stair steps, the direct experience is the transformational aspect. Of course, you know, you work with somebody, you give them the direct experience, they'll say, let me think about it. No, don't think
yeah,
about
no.
it.
Yeah,
just experience
I'm
it.
Actually in the process of changing my own language of, instead of saying, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been saying, it's been through my experience.
Yeah, that's an extraordinary and important transition. And the other thing is to acknowledge and the, you might say, the spiritual authority that's given to you, because there's things are given to us. There are things that we get that we know.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's like it's indisputable. It doesn't mean that our knowingness imposes authority on
mm-hmm.
somebody else. They don't have to accept it. But they have to understand that where we're coming from is a place of knowing us. Now, there's a woman
that's
who,
beyond book knowledge.
Absolutely.
I've
actually bad knowledge.
I've experienced that. I was in an experience with another person,
mm-hmm.
and I thought we were talking about the same definition of the word ascension.
Mm-hmm.
And then later it came out, oh, my gosh, our definitions of the ascension or the word are complete polar opposites, and I had no idea. And every time I would try to express or verbalize my experience and my knowledge and my knowingness,
mm-hmm.
I just know it. I know, but I don't know how I know, but this is the information. I would be counteracted with, well, but that's not what I read. I read this book. The book said da, 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 da. And I'm like, this is, and instead of getting, yeah, I started to get frustrated. I'm human. I won't deny that.
Yes, indeed.
But yeah, I mean, how could a person not be frustrated? However, through a lot of catching myself over many, many years, I immediately, as soon as I caught on to it, would just, this is a new experience for me. What are you learning from this? And there's no judgment, no anger, no hatred, no more frustration. I'm like, this is an experience being at complete opposite ends of a table with this different level of understanding and knowing and where their soul is at. And I just really got into the moment of this is a new experience.
It's interesting that you brought that topic up, because if you ever do get to the Lightgivers website, you'll see that the whole emphasis of that particular work, and I'm the founder of the Lightgivers organization, is on ascension.
Mm-hmm.
And what we just thought that once we put that thing up, you know, so here you have a website, if a person's so minded, able to look at it, you know, and it's energetically installed by the archangels to
mm-hmm.
do, you know, to clear up all that stuff. And then what's also really exciting is that it's structured to give people the boost into that next level of being, whether it's, you know, Nirvana, Sartori, Jivan Mukti, the void, kingdom of heaven.
Mm-hmm.
So it's structured. So we just knew that the world was going to beat a path to this Lightgiver website. It's gotten very little activity. And the reason is the concept of ascension for many folks is basically that. It's a concept. You know, it's like taking sociology, and I used to teach sociology and say, and now we're going to talk about the roles, the roles
yeah.
of people in society. It's concept. So for a lot of folks, you know, that really gets in the way. As so when one of the quotes, I don't know if it's still around there somewhere, that I used to say is that something like, once you have experienced ascension, you will know what it is. You know, and all you have to do is accept the possibility and be aware of how you experience yourself. And what happens for most people who, not for all the people I know who I've ever said, and I just say, I just witness it. I'm not doing it. I'm showing up.
Mm-hmm.
It's
right.
happening between you and spirit. But once every single person, I just say, what have you noticed? And in every case, not only do they feel lighter, they notice a shift. And I explain to them what's happened is the center of who you are has been moved outside of this world of action and reaction, that most of us tend to define ourselves in terms of what's going on. You now are outside of what's going on. You can notice it, you can see it, but no longer accept it as being the cause of who you are. Well, that sounds good. I better write that down.
Yeah, you better write that down or listen back in archives.
Yeah, right, right. But the point that you're getting...
When
you... Go ahead.
Go ahead.
No, you're the guest. Speak.
Oh, okay. Well, I was just going to say that through everything you just said that you needed to write down, I kept having images flash of biblical times and Jesus trying to explain this information and how he didn't get frustrated, but he had to somehow explain to his followers, that it's an experience and what they could grasp and comprehend during that time era for our entire planet to be where we are now as well.
Absolutely.
Because it's the same information. This isn't anything
really,
new.
It absolutely is. And I think one of the problems is that so many people are still trying to frame how they live their lives in
mm-hmm.
the context of what was brought out, you know, 2,000 years ago. Without unbundling it just to get at what is the core essence about life and living. Talking about core essence, do you know that we only have about 2 minutes to go? We just got started.
Oh, I know. Holy cow, that did just fly by.
Yeah.
Just as we
well,
get
I,
into
by the way,
some really
I am,
deep stuff on the
one
edge.
One of my other GGM fellow hosts, Vandis Beneman, are creating an organization called Glory Universal Ministry. Glory Universal Ministries, and her orientation is a very strong Pentecostal Christian. And if someone had to tell me what path am I more leaning toward or see myself as being more aligned with, it would be that one because the emphasis on direct experience. I thought I would
mm-hmm.
ask in the final minutes if you have any profound insights, not ask for any profound insights about the potentiality of the Glory Universal Ministries. I just get a flood of joy.
Okay, wait, what's the question? And we're down to like less than...
Yeah, just what insights, probably just two or three wonderful words that you might get about where Glory Universal Ministries is headed.
Oh, well, I absolutely see great things, but it's coming in so many different... avenues and potentials and possibilities and everything. I keep being shown, going back to what we just hit on, is getting to the core essence so that people have that primary draw, and then all these other avenues are coming out like an octopus. I don't know why. That's what I visually.
Yeah,
like
no, that's good. Thank you. Universal Ministries. Well, I just want to tell you, I've enjoyed this call and enjoyed talking to you. Maybe we'll do this again sometime.
I would love
and
to.
And I'll stay in touch.
I would absolutely adore doing that with you again.
Yeah, and we're going to end. Matter of fact, the show just ended.
Well,
that's okay.
That's okay.
Thank
you get
you
more
so much
downloads
for coming
on archive. So let's do this again. Let's absolutely have another show.
Okay. And by
like
the
this.
Way, you always will be welcome to come on to the Thursday show. And,
yes,
you
we
know,
do have that.
I'm starting to do healings, live healings on the show.
Wonderful.
To help people see how the process goes. And you know, I'll ask people, what are you noticing, if anything? And, you know, they notice everything. One woman, I did, before we opened the mics, actually took people through, you know, a very brief instant healing thing. And then there was one woman whose mic was there. And so Tina's husband, who was acting as a producer, opened her mic. And the woman was in tears. She couldn't even talk.
Mm-hmm.
She was completely overwhelmed. Just that little 5-minute thing that we did on the call. So that's what I'm going to do, that, you know, just standard thing. It'd be nice to have contact with folks, but if we can give them that kind of support and then they come back and have a conversation, I'll teach them how to keep it. Can't do everything on the call.
No.
Well, Claire, it has been a positive thrill. I knew I was going to have fun when you got on the call.
This was wonderful.
Take care. And here's a big long-distance hug from your brother in spirit.
Thank you so much, Gregory. I hope you have a wonderfully blessed day.
Thank you. I will. Day, week, year, lifetime.
Yes. Rest of this journey.
Same to you.
Okay. Take care.
Take care. Bye now.
Bye.